The warnings are plentiful and blunt on the third Sunday in Lent. Lent is a season of repentance. Cut it out or get cut down. The warnings are accompanied by God's invitation to attentiveness. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. The landowner's ultimatum is forestalled by the gardener's readiness to till the ground one more year. That is good news for us all. Thanks be to God. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God who stretches out to the heavens, who sends light to the nations, who gives breath to us all. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Loving God, we confess that we have turned from your way to follow our own way. Forgive us for the times we have spoken or acted too quickly. We have spoken or acted at all. We have hurt those closest to us. We have hurt those we have yet to know. We have thought more about ourselves than others. We have thought less of ourselves than we ought. Turn us around and give us a fresh start so that we can live as your children. Amen. Even when we've done wrong, God makes us right. Even when we've messed up, God puts us together. God's love never runs out. God never tires of calling us beloved children. Hear God say to you now, your sins are forgiven. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior, amen. I invite you to stand as you are able for the opening hymn. Thank you. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with
you. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
chapter 55. Oh, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you that have no money, come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen, so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant so that you may live. My steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. See, you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that you do not know, you shall run to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. For he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, that he may have mercy on them, and to our God, for he abundantly pardons. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways are my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Please read the psalm with me responsibly. O Lord God, you are my God. Eagerly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you as in a dry and weary land where there is no water.
Therefore I gaze upon you in your holy place, that I may behold your power and your glory.
For your steadfast love is better than life itself. My lips shall give you praise.
So will I bless you as long as I live, and lift up my hands to your name.
My spirit is content as with the richest of foods, and my mouth praises you with joyful lips. For you have been my helper, and under the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice.
My whole being clings to you. My right hand holds me fast.
Our second reading is from 1 Corinthians. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them, and they were struck down in the wilderness. Now these things occurred as examples for us, so that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not become adulterers, as some of them did, as it is written. The people sat down to eat and drink, and they rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents. And do not complain, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. These things happened to them to serve as an example, and they were written down to instruct us on whom the ends of the ages have come. So if you think you are standing, watch out that you do not fall. No testing has overtaken you that is not common to everyone. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tested beyond your strength. But with the testing, he will also provide the way out so that you may be able to endure it. This is the end of the reading.
Thank you, God.
Please stand if you are able to God.
Let your steadfast love come to us,
The Gospel according to Luke, the 13th chapter. At that very time, there was some present who told him about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Jesus asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they are worse sinners than all other Galileans? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did, or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them. Do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No. I tell you that unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did." Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I've been coming for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" He replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year, until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father, from Christ our risen and living Lord and Savior, and the Holy Spirit our empowerer. Eileen Stacy shared a poem in our Bible study Thursday morning. It was really a good poem, and I thought I have got to find a way to fit this into a sermon. Here's the poem. I was shocked, confused, bewildered as I entered heaven's door, not by the beauty of it all, nor the lights or the decor, but it was the folks in heaven who made me sputter and gasp, the thieves, the liars, the sinners, the alcoholics, and the trash. There stood a kid in seventh grade who swiped my lunch money twice. Next to him was my old neighbor who never said anything nice. Her, who I always thought was rotting in hell, was sitting pretty on cloud nine, looking incredibly well. I nudged Jesus. "What's the deal? I would love to hear your take. How'd all these sinners get up here? God must have made a mistake. And why is everybody so quiet, so somber? Give me a clue." "Hush, child," he said. "They're all shocked. No one thought they'd be seeing you." Isn't that great? How do I work it into the gospel lesson? Well, I think I found a way. Today, we have the parable of the fig tree. Or, I like to use Eugene Peterson's translation in Family Express, the parable of the apple tree. And I think he turns it into an apple tree because, to tell you the truth, most of us have no experience with fig trees. Am I right? Yeah. It's a fun little parable. The owner of the vineyard comes out to the orchard and sees one of his trees that hasn't produced fruit in years. 3 years to be exact. Now that's a long time. I looked up on the internet and discovered that while it may take fig trees 4 to 5 years to begin producing fruit, once they have, they produce it every year. An apple tree can take 5 to 10 years to produce fruit, and the same is true for them as well. Although apple trees can alternate between 1 year of abundant production and a second year of less apples. For trees to produce nothing for 3 years, I would say the tree would look something like the one in the picture. Basically, the tree is dead. And I think that's the point the parable is making. Whether you're talking about a fig tree or an apple tree, the tree is dead. The dead tree looks a lot like the thieves and the liars and the sinners and the alcoholics and the trash and the kid who stole his lunch money twice in seventh grade and Herb, the neighbor who never had anything to say, and the poet in the poem. At least that's the impression I get. Those guys up in heaven hadn't produced much fruit in this lifetime. The owner of the vineyard wants to cut it down. He's had enough. It's not producing fruit. Look at it. It is not going to produce fruit. It's not making me money. It's just wasting space. Cut it down. Burn it. He's not being cruel. He's just being practical. So I, for one, am glad that the gardener speaks up for that poor fig tree, apple tree, whatever it is. Otherwise, that tree would simply be out of luck. And he, of course, as anyone can guess, is who? What's usually the right answer to any question at church? Who is he? Who is the gardener? Anybody? Jesus, of course. He's Jesus. The gardener sounds like the eternal optimist. Well, maybe. You know, maybe with enough manure. Maybe it'll happen. Just give it one more year. I'll dig around, fertilize. But realistically, what are the chances that any tree that looks like that is going to produce fruit? You know, this parable is actually pretty good Lutheran theology. The fig tree is expected to produce. It had better produce if it wants to live. In the early part of Luther's life, he agonized over the sins he committed. He tried his best time and time again to do good works, one after another, to pile them up as high as he could, to earn his way into heaven. That's how the church thought back then. That's how they thought it worked. You had to earn your way into heaven. And if you didn't, you were going to hell. Well, he kept count. And he realized he was just getting further behind. He had no chance whatsoever to end up in heaven. And he was bummed. He was depressed. Then one day he opened his Bible and read that it's God who makes us right with God, not our good works. That we can't earn our way into heaven. We get there by what Christ has done for us on the cross. We get there through his death and resurrection. Those thieves and liars and sinners and alcoholics and trash and the seventh grade kid and the old neighbor and Herb, who he thought was rotting in hell, and the poet himself finds themselves in heaven because of Jesus. Luther even went on to say, if you think you can do anything to earn your way into heaven, then why did Jesus die for our sins? That's good news. Good news for us all. So if it's not our good works or the fruit we produce that earns us a place in heaven, if it's not the fear of rotting in hell that motivates us to do something here on earth. What is the motivation? From going from this dead tree to this tree full of fruit. If we don't have to do it, why do it? I have teenagers. My gosh, they'd be sitting on the couch. I'd walk up to them. I'd ask them to do something. They'd still be sitting on the couch when I left the room. And I'm sure they were just waiting for Mom to forget that she even asked them to do anything. What is the motivation? Well, let's look at that dead tree again. I don't think being that tree would be any fun. Now let's look at the tree full of apples. That's much better. That tree is full of life. That tree's having a great time living. You'd even have to question whether an old dead apple tree could even be called an apple tree. Apple trees, by definition, produce apples. The same is true for fig trees. I know their motives are a bit mixed, but they bear fruit. Bearing fruit is an innovative solution apple trees came up with for spreading their seeds. They produce apples. Those apples attract the birds and the other critters. The birds eat the apples, including the seeds. And they fly away, and they poop, and they spread the seeds. Apples trees, so they came up with this solution to spreading their seeds, are still feeding the animals, including human beings. Bearing fruit is what apple trees do. We could argue the same is true for us. What is that old saying? One of my favorite, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. It means children tend to be a lot like their parents. Whether they want to be or not, the older you get, the more you realize it's true. We grow up to be like our parents. Because we live in their households, because it's in our very DNA. We're created in God's image. And God would argue we are not really being who we were created to be. God's sons and daughters. Whether we're caring about what happens to a neighbor, whether we're helping whatever we can, doing something for someone else, because that is what God is all about, loving. And when we think just about ourselves, when we talk just about ourselves, when we worry just about ourselves, when we live just for ourselves, we are not truly being human. It's not much fun. If we want to be fully alive, to enjoy this life and all the blessings it has to offer, God would say, you have to live for others as much as you live for yourself. God loves us. That's a sure thing. We know where we're going when this life is over. There's no question about that. The question really is, with God's help and God's promise. Do we want to make our little peace on earth just a bit more heavenly? Amen.